Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt mini podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I've got a great episode for you today with Inner Circle member Jennifer. Now, Jennifer has lost a lot of weight and she's approaching her goal weight range of about 190 to 200. She just wants to get below 200 pounds. Now, leading up to this, she's been counting calories, but she wanted to know how can she transition from calorie counting to not calorie counting and maintaining all of her progress. Because one of the biggest fears people have about going into maintenance is losing all the progress they just got. So I walked Jennifer through not only a strategy that will help her transition from calorie counting to not calorie counting, but also the deeper reasons why this method is so effective. And these deeper reasons are so important for you to learn because these are principles not just for fat loss and not just for maintenance and not just for fitness, but for life in general. We also talk about a lot of other topics as well, including Jennifer has lost a lot of weight, and she's done an incredible job of removing the excuses, removing the justifications, and specifically one of them was Jennifer told me she used to use that time of the month as a justification to just completely go off track, which would set her back considerably. She now doesn't do that anymore, and I really wanted to probe a little bit and ask deeper questions into how she got to that point in her life and in her journey, and how other people might be able to take the lessons she's learned and incorporate them into their life. So I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review. They really, really, really do help a lot, especially the written reviews. So if you have a positive written review, that would be amazing. If you have a negative written review, please just don't write it. That would be much appreciated. But that's it. Let's get into the episode. Let's go. Jennifer, we're live. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very excited to talk to you again. How is everything?
Everything is good. Thanks for making me use Skype again. I think the last time I used it was in November 2021 when we talked last. So
it is my pleasure. I think I need to try and change it, potentially go on a Zoom or something, but Skype works just as well. How are you? How is everything?
Everything is good. Everything's been really good. One of the things I wanted to like call and chat, there's a couple of things, but like one of the things is the thing that you talk about, you and Susan talk about all the time is like kind of giving patience to the process. And I think we got off the call last time. So that was like, what, I don't know, maybe 18 months ago, something like that. Can't do math very well, but but something like that, right? Like November 2021. So we're March 2023. So, you know, a year and 4 months, there's the math. And so I kind of like, I was at like my, not my highest, but kind of like at that, like the low point, right? Like frustrated with the process. Like every time, like I would do something, it would work for a period of time. And then I'd go, okay, I got it. I don't need anybody's help. And then I would stop with like a coach, or I would stop with, you know, tracking. And then, you know, like my weight would either, you know, spike or stay the same, but I wasn't making any more progress. And it was so frustrating over that period of time where things were just going the opposite way that you would expect. Like, I'm like, how am I gaining weight so quickly, you know, and so easily? I mean, obviously the fun way, but like, you know, so November 2021, we talked and I decided to commit to having a coach, like somebody like, and actually commit to. So I signed up with Sam Forget, and I've been working with him since that period of time, that date-ish. I think we started in like December 2021, and I've been working with him for well over a year now, and it's dramatically different. Like that accountability piece is huge for me, and so like it's nothing dramatic. I think I've lost like 20 pounds in a year, but that to me is pretty dramatic, where for the longest time I've either sat the same or I've been increasing. And for somebody who initially lost like 100 pounds to be like going in the opposite direction again, it was frustrating. So like, I wanted to like, kind of give you like the kudos and that validation that like, yeah, if you stick to something long enough, like you're going to see change, you know, like if you do the thing, you're going to see the results, right?
I love that. It's exactly right. I remember the first time I ever experienced that was I was 18 and I hired a coach in Sweden named Martin Birkin, and for the first time in my life, like I saw insane, insane results. And it was the most simple, basic program. I did it. And I talk pretty consistently about how I hire a new coach every year or so. Mm-hmm. Part of it is because I like to learn. Another part is because I know for a fact that when I'm paying another coach who's tracking my progress, I am way more likely to actually do it. So it's, you're 100% on point. So I love hearing that. That makes me really happy.
Yeah, that was, it was just phenomenal. Like I wanted to, I was trying to get fancy with my Fitness Pal, but I couldn't figure it out last night. I was going to show you like the curve because it's like one of the weight curves that you show in one of your YouTube videos, you know, the different ways that people lose weight in terms of like, does it go down and over? Does it, you know, like the different, but it was legitimately one of the patterns. And I was like, no fucking way. Like he's not wrong.
Don't make those patterns up. Like I made that video, what, it was probably 2019. I made that video and I had been coaching for like 11 years at that point. Like all of those patterns were consistently the ones that I see over and over and over again. Like it's not a joke.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're being consistent, like you can tell if you look at my, if you go through like all, you know, like you pull all the data in MyFitnessPal with weight. And it's funny too, because you can see the, you know, my weight going down slowly, it does the same pattern, you know, for 3 months. And then you can clearly see where I stopped tracking and I stopped kind of keeping myself accountable or whatever. And like, I would skip a few months and then my weight would be up. I would do the same thing when I got back on track, but then, you know, but I was more, the pattern was up versus the slow pattern down. So it was, yeah, it was really cool to see because you can see that nice little jigsaw down, you know, but
100%.
It took so long. It took so long, kid.
I mean, at least you figured it out, right? Rather than most people, truly most people never figure it out. They never get to that point. So the fact that you got it, like, that's huge. I'm super proud of you. And I'm really glad to hear that things are going well.
Yeah. So I feel like it turned the corner and like I figured out what I want to do. And obviously it's been a lot of trial and error, like what works, what doesn't work. And quite frankly, in the past year and change, like I haven't really changed my calorie range. So, you know, 20 pounds higher, I was still eating the same as what I'm eating now and it's still working. So it's one of those, like, I'm not fixing that number until it breaks, you know, like there's no reason to like scale that down until, you know, until I'm like 140 pounds and I need to start eating light, but that's never going to be the case.
That makes me very happy here because I don't know what's been going on lately. I mean, I do. I see all the horseshit content going out, but I get a lot of questions about metabolic adaptation and how if you like as soon as you lose weight, you're going to have to immediately reduce your calories again. It's like, no. It stays the same for a long time.
It really does. And the funny thing, too, is like I think that I don't think anybody is, but I'm not definitely 100% accurate, right? So, like, he has my range between 825 and 1925, 1825, 1925. And, like, if I think I'm within that, I'm good. But I still think that there's a level of variability that, you know, like, nothing's accurate, right? So maybe I'm eating more, maybe I'm eating less, but if I think I'm in that range, it works, you know? So 100%. As long as I'm consistent with whatever rules I'm making that work, then it's good. You know what I mean? But
that's exactly right. You get it. Like you're at a point where you fully get it. It's like you don't need to be overly meticulous. You don't need to be like freaking out about the 100% accuracy. Cause as long as you're consistent with what you're doing and you're seeing progress, then it's working. And then if progress slows down or it stops, then you adjust what you're doing, period. Like you don't need to overly critique or analyze, all right, are the calories exactly precisely accurate? No, of course not. They're not exactly precise, but right. You have a really good idea of how much you're taking in and what you need to do. So that's, you're killing it.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty cool. Cause like the nerd in me, and I think that's why I like Sam so much is cause he's like a nerd of numbers. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like you can't lie. Numbers don't lie, you know? So like, obviously, like I'll have a month where my weight stays exactly the same, like on average, week to week variability is the same, but like I'm losing inches or, you know, like I'm kicking ass in the gym. So like there's obviously like different things that I base my progress on these days than just the weight on the scale, which is kind of cool. It's a little bit liberating, I will say, to like not, I think it's because I'm seeing progress, but it's good to not focus solely on that number. You know, like if I look at inches, like I've lost 20 inches in a year. Like that's wow. crazy. Like that's crazy. Insane. Right? Like I didn't think about it because every month it's been like an inch. Maybe some months I'm like 2 inches, some months I'm like a half inch, but then you add it all up. Since November 2021, it's been about 20 inches. And I'm like, that's a lot of inches, you know?
That's a fuck ton of inches. That's an unbelievable amount. And you're right, like on a month-to-month basis, it's easy to get discouraged. Oh my God, it was only a month. It was only an inch or only half an inch. But you add it up after a year and several months, you're like, holy shit, I've lost 20 inches. Like, it's insane. Right.
Yeah.
And that's only off the sites you've been measuring, right?
It's, right.
You don't measure every site either.
Right. That's the other part too, is because like I've been doing your the barbell barbarian
bench press barbarian. Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. So I've been doing that. So I've been doing a lot of focus on like upper body, obviously, and not that I think the program's done anything, but I've just been paying attention to like my shoulders a lot more lately. And you can definitely see like it's more defined because I think obviously you're just losing fat there, right?
Exactly. But
it's interesting because it's like exactly that. I don't measure my shoulders as part of my monthly measurement. So like I'm seeing progress even though it's not dictated in the numbers too. So it's fascinating.
But you're killing it. I'm so fucking hyped and stoked for you. I like, what an amazing way to kick things off. Like I'm beyond happy to hear this.
Yeah, it's super cool. Like I appreciate you guys. Like I never would have gotten here because I was never the person that was super patient. Obviously, like, you know, like I got to the point I lost 100 pounds and that was back in 2015. And between 2015 and 2020, I had started to gain about a pound a month on average over the course of those years. So like the math is there, right? That's I gained about 50 pounds of it back to get to my new highest. And, but I was never super patient. Like I lost like 80 of those 100 pounds, like doing one of those stupid diets, right? Where like you eat, if I go back and calculate how much I ate in a month or in a day, it'd probably be less than or equal to 1,000 calories. Like no lie. It was one of those stupid, crazy. And he was a doctor, you know, like I'm a doctor and I'm gonna write this book and you're gonna follow it and you're gonna lose weight. I'm like, I lost weight, but I probably lost a lot of muscle. Probably lost a lot of other things. And it wasn't healthy because obviously I gained it all back. Right. So this is the first time that I've been super patient for me, patient. And like, just let it happen and live life and do stuff and not feel like I can't go out. I can't travel. I can't do all the fun things that make life worth living, you know, cause I'm on a diet, but it's been cool. It's totally an exercise in patience, you know, like,
That's all. It's literally, it's just patience. Yeah, that's literally it. And being able to remain patient and remain consistent, even, or you know, maybe even being able to remain consistent even when you are impatient is a really important skill.
Yes, for sure. Yep. No,
Have you had any times like that in the last year or so where you've been impatient but you've forced yourself to be consistent?
Absolutely. Like, you know, like, especially with me, like my wife and I, we do a lot of like traveling, like weekend trips and stuff like that. So you always, whether I was on point during the weekend or I was just like a complete asshole and was like, yep, eating that, having that drink, calling it whatever it is. Like you get back and you have that moment on the scale on that Monday morning and you're like, yep. And it's like, you got to talk yourself through it. Like, you're like, you knew this was going to happen. You know what I mean? So like, you have to have that like self-talk to like get back into like, not into the groove of things. Cause you weren't off track. It was just like, you did what you did and now you're going to get back and being consistent to, you know, live like you're, you know, the 80% of your time is going to be this way. And then 20% of time is going to be that way. But like, yeah, so I think it's just for me, it's like telling myself, I like this because you talk about this a lot, is telling myself what I would tell somebody else.
Yes.
Right? And if you could start having those conversations with yourself, like, it's okay. Like, you didn't lose all your progress. Like, you know, like, yeah, the scale's up a little bit. You were at your lowest on Friday, but Monday you're at like your highest in a while. That's okay. You know, like, it's just, you got to talk yourself through when you want to like throw in the towel. And I've been there probably a number of times, like, you know, over the past year and change, like wanting to just like not give up, but react to it. I think that's the harder part, is like not reacting in the sense of like, okay, well, clearly I overate, so I'm going to over restrict this week. You know, like I used to do that where during the week I would like eat super, super light, like, and then the weekends could be whatever they wanted to be because I didn't eat, but I wasn't eating. You know, like I think part of what makes me super happy these days is that I love working out. I love going to the gym. I love strength training. And you can't do that well if you're not eating. So you kind of need to fuel the things that you like to do. So if I can look at it that way, like you can't overly restrict. You'll get back to where you're going to go. It's just talking yourself down off the ledge. Like when those situations happen, and talk to yourself like you would like somebody that you love, you know?
I love that. I completely agree. And even that is a skill, right?
Like, yes.
It's a skill learning to talk to yourself that way, catching how you're speaking to yourself when you're in the midst of catching yourself speaking to yourself in an inappropriate way or a non-conducive way to success. And I remember when I first started doing it, like, it felt awkward, like talking to myself, like, you know, like it's yep. actually much easier to be a dick to yourself than it is to be mm-hmm. really nice to yourself. So like, it seems like hippy dippy and weird, but like, it's true, like catching it, stopping it before it progresses, and then making it a habit of talking to yourself appropriately is one of the best things you can do for your own self-improvement.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think it's like anything though. It's like, not just like weight loss or fat loss or anything. It's like, you have a bad day at work, or you're like, you yelled at the dog, or you yelled at the kid. It's like, okay, you're not perfect. You're human. You know, like, just doing that in general for everything that happens in life, then you just do it all the time, you know?
And 100%.
Yeah. It's practice. There was somebody that told me a saying, and I can't remember now. It's not practice makes perfect. It's like practice makes improvement or something like that. But it's like, you're constantly improving skills. And I think that is a skill that, you know, is definitely like one for the books. If you're going to have any superpower, I think, you know, having rational thought when your emotions are high is definitely one of those.
So true. I wish that was a skill that they started to teach in like elementary school.
Yeah. Like,
that's one of those lifelong skills that we absolutely need, probably more than geometry. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm sure geometry teachers are going to get really mad at me for saying
that. Sorry, Mr. Smith.
So what else is going on?
So one of the things I wanted to talk about, it's kind of a good segue. It's, and you actually kind of not answered the question, but it was the kind of the preface to the question is like, you said that you change coaches. Like I'm assuming you mean like strength coaches, or do you have coaches for other things that you do?
So from a fitness perspective, I'll change coaches on a regular basis, usually like every year and a half or so, whether it's a strength coach or a conditioning coach or a flexibility coach, whatever it is, like always like trying to meet new coaches and learn from them. And so there's that. I've also had business coaches in the past. I haven't had a business coach in probably like 6, 7, 8 years now, but I had 4 business coaches in total. The first 3 were fucking awful. And finally I found the 4th one who was amazing, and I stuck with him for several years. That was something I wasn't really willing to potentially switch on, because like I found the one that I knew was great and I didn't want to leave. But especially when it comes to fitness, because I have, you know, so much of my own knowledge, I can sort of tell right away if someone's full of shit or not. So I like to try and find people who I can tell are not full of shit, but also I know that I can definitely learn from. So that's why I do it from the fitness perspective.
Yeah, I was just curious, because it's one of those things, like, how do you I was making notes last night, and I'm like, what do I want to say, you know? And I'm like, how do you like re-enter society, right? Like, and it's a weird way to say the question, but like, how do I get to the point? Obviously, like, I have a lot of goals and I'm a goal-oriented person, so I think I'll keep with a coach till I feel like I've gotten a good handle on them. But it's like, how do you, for something like nutrition, something like tracking calories, and being such a type A neurotic person like I am about it, like, how do you like go back and be just an, I hate to say it like this because I am a normal person, but how do you become like a normal person who doesn't, their life doesn't revolve around, you know, okay, I have 1800 calories to eat. Okay, you know, maybe I'll play with some here and there. You know what I mean? Like, how do you stop playing like mathematical, you know, equations each week with your calories? Like, how do you just, you know, like, and yeah. And the coaching part for me is a huge part of that, right? So I can do it on my own, but obviously I do it much better with a coach. So like, how do I wean myself off of having that, you know, so that I feel more control? And so I guess that's part of it. And then the other part is like, if you're at the point where you can wean yourself off, like, how do you set up yourself for different phases of life? Like, let's say I get to my goal weight or whatever weight feels nice, and then I want to start doing like building muscle, and then I want to do like a fat loss phase. Like, how do I structure life to do that on my own?
Yeah. So these are great questions. So the first question, I'm going to reiterate it just to make sure I have the question right. And if I get it wrong, please tell me. First question being, how do you actually stop tracking? How do you stop doing that? Is that right?
Yep.
So I want to ask some questions. First question being, do you have any anxiety around the idea of stopping tracking?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm being honest, like ultimately it's like, I've only seen progress when I'm tracking and, you know, having my 18 spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. So I would have to prove to myself that I can make progress without it. And then I probably wouldn't have anxiety, but yeah, I do right now.
Yeah. And thank you for being honest. Like the only way that I can actually help is through honesty. So I appreciate that. And there's no, there, I asked that first and deliberately because I knew the answer was yes. Like obviously, like it's very common. It's very, very common. My next question after that is, what is the goal you are trying to achieve right now? Like not like the sub goals. Like what is the one main goal that, because you said I haven't achieved my goal yet, and how would I continue to make progress? Is it progress towards what? Progress towards a certain weight? Like what is the goal?
I mean, for me, I don't have like a weight in mind, but I do want to get underneath 200 pounds. Like that to me is like, I want to be in the 100s and I want to be consistently in the 100s, not like 199.9 on the scale. Like I want to, you know what I mean?
Like yeah, I want to like one, like 194 and then be totally fine and staying in that range.
Exactly. Like I would love to be 190 to 199, you know, a bad day after a great weekend was 199. Let's just say, and then the rest of the time I'm floating down in the 190s just because there's a couple parts of that. Like I just overall think that that's a healthy number. You know, I think you talk a lot about but like for me, it's also like blood pressure, overall health. Like I need to get off these extra 30 pounds. I just do, you know, and I actually applied for health insurance or life insurance. And that's the number that they use to not have like an exorbitant deductible. So I was like, you got to get there. Like if life insurance is telling you that that's where you got to be, like that's a big, so that's kind of like my goal is to get under that, to be in that 190s. If I can do better, great, sure. But I think I'd be super happy and healthy in that range.
I love that. It makes total sense. It's a great goal, great reasonings, all of that. So now we can actually get to answering the question. So
okay.
I think the first question that we should actually answer, which is this question comes before, how do you stop? The question is now the right time to stop? Or maybe even a better question would be, when is the right time to stop? And there's no definitive one size fits all right answer here. But what I would say is my opinion would be, I don't think you should stop. I'm going to have a huge caveat with this. I don't think you should stop until you've achieved your goal, unless, and this is the caveat, unless you think that counting is causing you to develop disordered relationship with food, is causing to take away from your life. If it's causing you to have real issues mentally, emotionally, then we stop it and we come up with another strategy. If you're not having real issues with it and it's more just, you know, it's taking up some time and you would like to get to a point where you don't need to, I would say you don't stop until you get to that goal. Does that make sense?
Yep, totally. Yeah, and I'm in that latter category where it's like it's not super fun, especially when you're like away and trying to like, you know, I'm type A about stuff, so I'm like, I don't know what that cheeseburger was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but like, so I think it's just my type A part of it. But yeah, I'm totally in that ladder. Like, it's inconvenient, but it's not. I like numbers, so it's kind of honestly a little bit of fun too. So yeah.
Okay, so that's perfect. That answers the first question, which is you should not stop until you reach your goal. Mainly because it's working. You're eating a very sustainable number of calories right now. You're losing weight, you're making progress, like it's clearly working. We don't want to fix it if it's not broken and it's not causing any disordered relationships with food or anything. Like I think right now this is the plan, like sort of like we were talking about at the beginning, stay patient, stay consistent, keep going. The eventual goal, aside from reaching that certain weight, improving blood pressure, all that stuff, the next goal is to be able to maintain that weight and health status, or even improve your health status without needing to count. And that's when you say, well, how do we do it? So it's again, it's different for everyone. What I generally recommend is actually, before I even say what I generally recommend, what I want to ask you is, do you think you're more successful with, and this is going to require real objective honesty, do you think you tend to do better with immediate cold turkey 100% changes in your life, or do you think you tend to do better with a little bit more slow and gradual changes? And there's no right or wrong here. It's entirely dependent on the individual, but some people do better with cold turkey. Some people do better slow and gradual. I actually tend to be better with like cold turkey. Everything flips upside down and I just switch on the dime. That's just my personality. It's like literally one day after years of binge eating, I just fucking stopped. That's very much how my personality is, but I know everyone's different. So I'm wondering where you think you are on that spectrum.
That's a great question. So I actually gave up smoking when I was like 28, and it was just like I got sick, I had a cough, and I was like, yep, I'm done. Like, I'm not gonna do it anymore. And I had a goal to get to like to quit by 30, and I was just like, nah, we're done, you know? So,
I love that.
and I never looked back. It was never like a, oh man, you know, it was just like it a mental block of you don't do that anymore, move on. But for like food and nutrition and tracking, I tend to like transition periods. Like, you know, I went through like a maintenance phase before I started into like a fat loss phase. So I tend to like that just because I think it helps me prepare. Like, especially with nutrition, there's more to it than just like don't put the cigarette in your mouth. Like,
Exactly.
get the right foods in the house, you know, kind of mentally prepare. Like, am I going on a, you know, once in a lifetime trip next week, so probably shouldn't be in a fat loss phase. So I think with food and nutrition, I think I'm more subtle. I don't need like a month. I just need like a few days to kind of like, you know.
I love the objective honesty, the awareness, and I love the differentiation between smoking and nutrition because smoking, it is in no way, shape, or form easy to stop. We should clarify. But you don't need to smoke, no matter
Right.
what, you always need to eat. Like,
Yep.
and this is one of the biggest issues and demons that people have when they have food issues. It's like it would be like as if a smoker has to smoke every day or an alcoholic has to drink every day, but they have to control it. It's really fucking difficult. And that's how people often struggle with food. So the way that I generally recommend people progress with going from counting, like you're doing very meticulously, to not counting is a little bit more of a slow and gradual progress or process, excuse me. And I'll explain the reasoning behind it before I explain exactly what it is. And the reasoning is because one of the main concerns that people will have when they stop counting calories is that they're going to gain all the weight back. I think they're going to lose all the progress they just made. I'm assuming that's part of the fear in your head. So cool. So for me, and I'm sure you've heard me speak about self-efficacy and how important it is to believe in yourself. My process in creating this very gradual method was just essentially, how can I prove to these people that they're not going to ruin their progress? Or more importantly, how can they prove to themselves that they're not going to ruin their progress? And that's where, so basically right now you're counting 7 days a week, save for vacations or whatever it is, but 7 days a week, every meal, every calorie, you're counting it essentially. Yep. So rather than going from doing that to nothing, I recommend picking one day, usually a Monday. For some people's work schedule, it's not a Monday, but generally speaking, usually a Monday. And on one Monday, or on every Monday for the first month, you're not going to count calories, just on Monday. Now, that doesn't mean you have to change your entire food, what your entire diet, whatever it is you're eating. You can literally eat the same stuff in the same quantities you eat, you have ate in order to get to your goal. I just don't want you counting the calories. I don't want you weighing. I don't want you measuring. I don't want you counting. There will be some residual, unconscious or subconscious counting in your head just from doing it for a while, but you are not allowed to track them. You're not allowed to put them into an app. You're not allowed to weigh and measure just on Monday. Tuesday through Sunday, you get right back on track and you continue to count. You do that for a month. What's really cool is after this month, you'll realize, all right, well, I haven't gained any weight back. Like, I haven't gone off track and that I've had that whole day. So then we make it Monday, Tuesday after a month. And so then for that, and you can change the time frame. Some people, they just do it for 2 weeks, but I like the month long strategy because then you go to Tuesday. And so Monday, Tuesday, you don't count, but then Wednesday through Sunday, you do count. And then at the end of that month, then you go to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you repeat this every month for 7 months until after 7 months, you are no longer counting on any days. And it's a very slow, it's actually not that slow. It's only 7 months, but it's a slow, very steady progression that the more you do it, every time you add another day, you prove to yourself, oh, I'm not gaining weight. I'm not ruining my progress. And it shows you, okay, consistently reminding yourself, okay, I didn't count Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I am counting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And those are your days to really, you know, make sure you're weighing and measuring, reminding yourself what a good portion size is. Occasionally throughout the year, I will count for like a week randomly, just so I can remind myself what a portion size looks like, because I obviously know what it looks like, but I also I don't actually forget. It's just, I need the reminder, the perception reminder of, oh, I've been having this much ice cream at night when I really should be having this much. And I wouldn't have made that change unless I counted, which is a form of accountability, a form of a reminder, all of that. But does that make sense? And does that sound something like something that's doable for you?
It does make sense. The thing I'm wondering is if people that do this method are still tracking their weight obviously to know if they're gaining or losing, do you think that people change their habits? Like if they notice trends in the scale going one way or the other?
You mean like, let's say they were doing this method and then they started to gain weight and then they would change their habits?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they would, but the only times that I think that would happen is if on the days in which they're not counting, then they're eating completely differently than they were before. The whole purpose, I think this is really, really, really important. A lot of people look at fat loss or any fat loss phase or cut as like the amount of time it takes you to go from your start weight to your goal weight. And I think it's a very flawed way of thinking about it, because essentially then you're only going to eat certain foods in certain quantities when you're trying to lose weight. But as soon as you say, hey, I've reached my goal weight, it's done. They change the foods, they change the quantities. And then of course they go off and they often yo-yo back up to where they were before and beyond. But instead of thinking about fat loss as solely from start weight to goal weight, I like to think about a fat loss phase as from start weight to goal weight, and then extend it through a maintenance period of, I like to say, 1 to 2 months. So the reason I like that is because now because you have that extension, it removes the idea of, all right, well, as soon as this fat loss phase is over, I'm going to binge and I'm going to eat this, I'm going to eat that. I want you to eat all of your favorite foods. I want you to eat the food. I want you to have the foods that you regularly have. I don't want the substance of your diet to change from a fat loss phase to a maintenance or a bulking phase. The substance essentially should be almost exactly the same, the different quantities, but I want you to enjoy the foods that you want to enjoy in the right quantities based on your goal. So as long as you don't all of a sudden change everything about your diet, your weight is not going to have any crazy unforeseen spikes.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. I think you guys talk about this too. Like when Susan was doing her like bulking, like muscle building phase, and I think she added like 100 calories a week or something. Like it was something really light. I forget what the number was, but she was essentially like, I took like an extra scoop of my Greek yogurt, or I had like a little extra oatmeal or whatever the case may be. It's like it's not changing anything dramatically. It should just be you either eat a little Greek yogurt, a medium size, or a large size. That's it, right?
That's exactly right. Like during my mini cut, I went from having like three ice cream sandwiches at night to having one ice cream sandwich at night, right? And now that I'm more maintaining, I have two ice cream sandwiches at night. So it's like that's really what I'm talking about here. It's my breakfast often stays the same, my lunch stays the same, my dinners are very similar. And then if I need to add calories, I'll often add them in my desserts. If I want to remove calories, I'll often remove them from my desserts, but I'm still eating them. It's just smaller portions.
No, that totally makes sense. I actually love that.
The word that you used that was the most important was the trend of their weight. It doesn't mean you won't have spikes up and down like usual, but if you track the trend of your weight for a month, 2 months, 3 months, there's no way in hell you're going to see changes in trend just because you've stopped counting 1 of 7 days per week or 2 of 7 days per week. And when you realize that, this is where that self-efficacy, the belief in yourself, because before you're like, oh my God, I need to weigh and measure and track every single thing. Now you have 1 day a week, 2 days a week, 3 days a week where you're not tracking and your weight trend is still exactly the same. You're proving to yourself that it's working. And that's really what I want you and everybody to learn how to do is prove to yourself that it works with these slow progressive models.
Right. And you start with, like, for me, starting with a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is like your safe days where it's like, it's pretty boring. It's work. It's, you eat the same things all the time. Like, I usually eat the same thing all week, which is boring but predictable. So like it's taking safe days anyway and building in the confidence that you can do it, with, and then you go into the Friday, Saturday, Sunday part, but you start off like building the confidence and the capability.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I like it.
Good. So that'll be a good goal for you to have and a good knowledge to have before you achieve the goal so you can like prepare yourself for it. You know it's going to come. But I would say one of the things that I love that you said is you don't just want to get to like 199.8. It's like you want to give yourself some buffer room, some leeway, which is exactly why, by the way, I usually do about like one mini cut a year because I'll lose about 10 pounds. And then over the next year, I'll slowly regain it and then I'll lose it again. And that's my maintenance range is that generally like 148 to 158 range. And I stay in there and I have like 8 weeks a year where I'm in a mini cut. And then the rest of the year, I'm just enjoying myself. I'm not tracking, I'm not counting any of that stuff. I like that you specifically said, I want to get a little bit lower in the 190s just so that you have that wiggle room. So you go on a huge vacation. Like it's my wife and I were, and daughter, we're about to go on a 3 week trip, Boston, Israel, and Atlanta. And we were literally just talking this morning about how, like, yeah, we're probably going to gain a bunch of weight in Israel because we are going to eat our faces off. And it's totally fine because like that we've accounted for that leading up to it. And when we get back, we know exactly how to get right back on track. And that might be, for example, a period of time in which, cool, I get back, I'm gonna count calories just for this week to remind myself I don't need a huge fucking bowl of hummus every day. Like I can have like just a little bit, and that's totally fine. Just remind myself what an appropriate portion size looks like. It's you are very much on your way to becoming a very flexible diet. Actually, you are a flexible dieter, to becoming more of what I would call an intuitive eater, where you don't need to count because right now you're a flexible dieter, but not intuitively yet. You're working towards it and you're very much on the path.
I really like that you kind of do like a gut check with yourself, and I want to get to that part where of my life where it's like you live your life for 9, 10 months out of the year. And then you have like a little like, ooh, okay. So that year I was a little meh. And then you kind of you rein it in for a little bit. Kind of, it's a good exercise. You lose a little bit of fat or a little bit of weight or whatever the case may be. And then you go back to just being. So like I'm
That's
looking forward to
it.
that. So
It's really nice. It's a really comfortable place to be, and It's I think a lot of people mistakenly have this idea that weight maintenance means your weight stays exactly the same the entire time. And I think that's actually caused more disordered relationships with bodies and food. And it's given unrealistic expectations of what to expect in a maintenance phase. And the reality is, like, I think a maintenance phase of 10 months of being within that, like, 10-pound range, and then you get to the higher end, cool. Then you have 2 months where you just slightly reduce calories, go back to where you feel most comfortable, and then spend the next 10 months just more enjoying yourself, again, in control and eating high-quality food, but allowing yourself to gain a little bit of weight so you can repeat this on an annual basis is a very healthy way to maintain whatever range you want to stay in.
Yeah, I love that. And I think if you can focus on, or people can focus on, like, those averages, like, only look at averages per month, so you're not obsessed with, you know, especially for women, you're not obsessed with that 1 week every month where you're like, oh crap, it's not working. No, you know what I mean? It's like, look, which is definitely one of those weeks every month where it's like, talk yourself out of this, Jen. You're okay.
And that's one of the best parts about tracking, consistently tracking your weight, because when you have a year plus 2 years, whatever, of data of your weight trends, then you know exactly what's going to happen throughout the entire month. You know when it's going to spike up, when it's going to go down, you know when it's going to stay, like, you know all of this, which is, it's so unbelievably helpful whenever you are having one of those bad days where it's like, oh, this isn't working, maybe I need to reduce my calories further. It's like, no, motherfucker, relax, it's fine, stay the course, keep going. Just having all of that data just help, and especially for a numbers person, having all that data just proves to you, like, oh no, like, it's okay. I know exactly what's going to happen right now.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's funny on that note, like, Sam really doesn't give me a lot of slack when it's that week of the month, which is really awesome because it's probably the first, like, year where I don't go like, oh, but I'm peeing messing, so it's okay to have the extra, right? So it's like, he holds me accountable. He's like, honestly, you really shouldn't see, like, some women obviously do, and I'm not sorry for those who do, but, like, I only go up now, like, a pound or two in that week, and it's because I'm being consistent. It's not because my body doesn't fluctuate or my hormones don't do this. It's just like, well, actually, if you hold yourself accountable and you're actually more consistent, you're not going to see that major spike. It's because you eat differently, because you have the emotions or the blah, you know. So it's really interesting that I've noticed over the year, I've had like 12 or 14 different months to look at, and the first month it was like 7 pounds, and then slowly over the course of the past year, it's like this past month it was like a pound, you know. And then you
get so interesting. That's really incredible data to have on yourself in terms of your weight, but also, like, data in terms of your own adherence and your own, like, mm-hmm. what you've been doing, and almost like the justifications you've given yourself. I will say, and I know you know this, like, there are some women who just, even if they're on point, they have insane weight fluctuations, which is like, again, that's normal. But for yourself, that's amazing data to have, just because you're like, all right, wow, I was using that time of the month as a justification to go off track and then be upset. And I will say, and I'd actually be interested to hear your thoughts on this. Do you notice your hunger increase during that week, or not really?
I actually noticed it the week before. So my like banner week for weight loss is the week before, because I feel like I'm burning a little extra calories just because of my cycle's norm. Like, that's just how it works. So, like, the week before, like, I'm kicking ass, right? And then, like, I get to it and then I gain the pound or whatever. But, like, I also lift heavier the week before because I know that that's the case.
Yes. Yes.
So I have the extra energy. I'm just crushing it. That week before is like the banner week of the month for me. But, so I just lift heavier. So I think that it accommodates if my accuracy isn't like 100%, you know, but.
How do you handle the hunger? Like, do you have any strategies that you've used to help, like, maybe mitigate the hunger, or because for you to be able to consciously say, hey, I used to use this as a justification and I am hungrier, but I'm not going to use it as a justification anymore. Do you have any strategies that you've used or learned that have helped you stay a little bit more on track without going overboard?
Yeah, I guess there's a few things. I change like how I eat in a day. So I typically, like in the morning, if I'm not super hungry, I let it be something super, super light. That way when like I'm hungry, like later in the day, I have more calories to play with. And I also have changed, I do two other things. I change what I'm snacking on when I'm hungry. It's like fruits or like, I don't
fruit?
Know. Like
a, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh right? My God.
I love the Tim Ferriss thing the other day where it was like, you can't have fruit, but you can drink wine and you should drink wine.
Every night.
Yeah. At least one glass every night. I'm like, okay.
Oh God.
Yeah. So I think that's what he said. He said like one to two or something. And I was like, nah, dude. but like, yeah, so it was like fruit or something like, I don't like to use the word, but like something healthier instead of having like chocolate, like that's typically that thing, right, that people crave, like just replace the sweetness. But honestly, like I just drink more water, drink more seltzer, drink more soda, diet sodas, like tea. Like I think if I like constantly have something to sip on, my wife makes popcorn in the afternoon. So that's a really low calorie snack that like, you know, to like crunch on. So it's just, it's changing what I'm eating. And then like drinking a lot more, which I think helps with that like bloating thing anyway.
Makes total sense. That's very helpful. It's I don't think it's what a lot of people want to hear.
No.
What a lot of people want to hear is like, well, what can I eat that tastes exactly like pizza but doesn't have the calories of pizza?
I wish.
Trust me, if there was a food that had minimal to no calories but tasted like pizza, I would starve to death because I would just eat that all the time. Like it would be amazing. It's really, you know, staying hydrated, drinking, eating the generally, it's funny. You said you didn't want to use the word healthier. Like there was a period of my career I didn't like saying that and like healthy foods. And I think it's okay to say something is healthier. I don't like the idea of saying, well, that's not a healthy food. But when someone says like, that's healthier, I almost want to bring it back. Like, I think we've the pendulum has swung too far. Like, oh, you can't say that food is healthy. It's like, all right, like the pendulum has swung a little too far. Everyone knows that an apple is healthier than a donut. It doesn't mean the donut is, you can't eat it or it's inherently bad for you. But come on, obviously the apple is a healthier option for the vast majority of times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's fair. It's having context to the word versus just.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Well, good. I mean, it sounds like you've got it all. Like you are. One thing I've wanted to do, you know, like I'm obsessed with jiu-jitsu. I talk about it way too much. My wife is so annoyed. I talk about it all the time. One thing that I love about martial arts, especially something like jiu-jitsu, is the belt ranking system. And you know, in jiu-jitsu, there's white, blue, purple, brown, black. And in between every belt, they'll give you stripes. And there's up to four stripes for every belt. And a stripe indicates that you're putting in the time, putting in the effort, being consistent, and showing the improvements that need to be made in order to go to that next rank belt. Mm. And I've been really trying to figure out a way to incorporate something like that into fitness. If the inner circle, for example, like if someone logs X number of workouts or whatever it is, all right, you just got a stripe on your belt. But like to you specifically, it sounds like you sound like if I had to put a belt and stripe on it, like a blue belt with two stripes.
Wow. And,
which is not a big deal. It's not a small achievement. Yeah. So to give context, 95% of people in jiu-jitsu never get their blue belt ever. Like because they quit when they're in their white belt stage. So 95% of people never get their blue belt. So the blue belt, what that marks is in my mind, in terms of fitness, I'm going to try and like relate this to fitness, is you've gotten to a point in which 95% of people never get to. You've gotten to a point in which you've lost a significant amount of weight. You've improved your relationship with food. You're focusing on the right things. Like, and the way that I look at what you're doing now is there's no going back. Like you're never going to just be like, fuck this fitness thing, I'm done. You've proven to yourself that you can do this. And there's not a doubt in my mind that one day you will achieve your black belt because you've put in the time, you've put in the effort, you've put in the consistency, you have the patience, you have the understanding now. Now it's literally just a matter of time and reps. And yeah. There's a saying in jiu-jitsu, I don't know how true it is, but they say to the effect of the difference between a blue belt and a black belt is not so much a difference in how many moves they know. The difference between a blue belt and a black belt is how proficient the black belt is at the exact same moves the blue belt knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you have so much of the knowledge. Now it's just honing it and honing it and honing it and learning along the way and getting better at taking all the knowledge that you have and using it for yourself and extrapolating how to adjust it based on your individual needs. So I think you are at a pretty high level. And at this point, it's a matter of time before you achieve your goal. You transition more to maintenance and less calorie counting. And I'm very excited for you and super impressed.
Awesome. Thank you. The teachers pet me love that I got a blue belt with two stripes. It was like I passed.
You did. You passed your blue belt test and you got two stripes. And usually on the blue belt, it takes like 6 months to 6 months to a year to get one stripe. So like it's a very high level. It's a very, very high level. So I'm super proud of you. And I think this is another stepping stone in your journey. Obviously, you want to lose about 30 more pounds. Like this will be like the next step. And I think what will happen is once you lose the 30 pounds, I would say then you'll get like, that'll be the next stripe. So it'll be blue belt, three stripes. And then the fourth stripe will be once you make it through those 7 months slowly progressing out of calorie counting. And then you'll get the purple belt probably about like 6 months to a year after you've been able to maintain that without freaking out, without like any having big issues. Like when you can get to a point where you can maintain not calorie counting for a very long period of time and still have a great relationship with food and maintain that weight, then you'll have earned your purple belt, which is a huge, huge deal. I'm just very impressed with you, and it speaks volumes to you and to your coach and your consistency and your hard work. It's really incredible.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Of course. Is there anything else? Is there, like, I'm more like, this is your time. I want to make sure that I answer all questions that you have.
No, those you've successfully done all my checklist on my notes from my, my phone.
Amazing. Well, I have a few more minutes. I just want to hear, how are you? How's life outside of fitness?
Outside of fitness? Oh, it's fantastic. So talk about like a great segue into nutrition and life is that my parents actually got us a wedding present 2 years ago, but with COVID and stuff, it's a trip to Italy.
And So
we're actually leaving in 2 weeks to go to Italy for almost like 2 weeks, about 12 days. So.
Oh my God. I'm so jealous. That's amazing. Where in Italy are you going?
So we're doing like 4 days in Rome. We're doing 4 days in Florence. And then 3 days in Lake Como. And then we fly out of Milan back to, actually to Atlanta, back to Boston. So.
Dear Lord, I am so jealous.
it's gonna be the best time. Yeah, we're excited. Like, so my wife actually has family in Rome. So her dad's side of the family, you know, grew up there, lived there, all that kind of stuff. Her dad came over here, and that's why they're here. But so for her, it's like going home because she spent like summers in Rome and stuff. So it'll be cool to see like the stuff that she grew up with. And then we're going to go to Florence, which she didn't spend a lot of time in. So then we'll have like a little bit more of a vacation. And then she's never been to Lake Como. So then we'll really have like a vacation that's like exploratory for both of us. So it's going to be super awesome.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. Do you remember when my wife and I went to Greece for our honeymoon?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So do you remember I don't think I spoke about this. Do you remember how? So we were in Santorini for the main honeymoon. Then we went to Athens for a few days because I was like, I can't be in Greece and not go to Athens and look at all the history here.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I got to Athens after about 10 days in Santorini and I said on my Instagram story, I was like, I've eaten so much. I guaranteed I've gained probably like 5 pounds. And I weighed myself. If you don't remember, it's totally fine. I weighed myself and it showed I'd lost weight.
And no way.
It showed and I couldn't believe it. And I felt like such an asshole because like I'm posting on my Instagram and what I realized was this is even now, like as a someone who's considered himself pretty damn good at this stuff, I realized the mistake that I made was while I was eating a lot. Number one, the quality is different, but still it's calories. Like I was eating a lot, but here's the difference. Here's the big difference was, especially when you're on vacation, when you're home and you're eating a lot, there's snacks. Like there's the snacks. You go to the pantry, you grab this, you grab that, you have this, you have that. When you're traveling, usually when you eat a lot, it's at a meal and you have a big meal, but then you don't eat because like usually there's just not food hanging around.
Right.
And I think that's what I was doing, where I was having these really big meals. My wife and I would eat a lot and we would drink a lot, but then we weren't snacking. There was no snacks throughout the day. It was just because like we were hiking and traveling and what or going on tours and all this stuff. And so that is what I found will often happen on vacation, especially a place like Italy or France or wherever you go, where you feel like you're eating a lot, but it's actually not as much as you might at home because you're not snacking. So this is my way of saying, enjoy the meal. Eat a lot. Don't feel like, oh my God, I'm ruining my progress. Like have the pizza, have the pasta, have the whatever. If anything, like enjoy the meals without any issues and then like try and keep snacking down. But when you're at a meal, I want you to eat and enjoy everything. No regrets.
Yes. It's going to be delicious, I tell you.
Oh my God. Have you been to Italy yet?
No, I've never actually been to Europe at all. So this is going to be my first like,
I'm so jealous. I'm so you're going to have the most amazing time. I hope you document it. You take pictures, videos, all that. Like I want to see what's going on. I want to see what you're doing. I hope you document it.
Okay. I will. Oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah. Most definitely.
Do you want to, and if you don't feel comfortable with this, please do not feel pressured. Do you want to share with people listening your social media account?
Sure. I'm actually not really on Facebook much except to be in the Inner Circle group. But I am on Instagram, which is Strand, STRAND 5579. And that's my birthday. So if anybody wants to send me presents, that's great.
Strand, STR. Hold on. Wait, say it again.
STRAND 5579.
Strand, STRAND 5579.
You got it.
Hold on. I'm trying to find it. It's not coming up. Strand, STR. Oh, STR, not AR. Got it. Hold on. Wait, I can't find it. Strand, STRAND 5579.
That's it.
Why can't I find this on Instagram? It's so weird. One sec.
Am I like super privacy? Oh, yeah. Well, no, but you should still see my account, even if you see it's private.
Is it so? Oh, wait, I'm an idiot. I'm so stupid. when you said strand, STRAND, I literally wrote strand and then strand again. And that, okay, got it. And I just requested to follow you as well so I can watch these amazing tours and food. And I want to see everything that you're doing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Now I have a good reason to take pictures of my food. I can be a food vlogger just like yourself.
Oh my God, please do. It was funny. One of my really good family friends, his name is Scott. He just went to Japan for the first time and he has, you know, a private Instagram account and he doesn't post anything on social media. I was like, bro, you have to post what you're eating. Like, you have to save it, put it in your highlights. You have to share this stuff. And it was so fun to watch everything he was eating. So I want to live vicariously through you as you're doing it. So please post. And for everyone listening, if you want to follow Jennifer and, only if you're nice, no fucking mean messages, like, please, for the love of God. Like I hate when I recommend people follow someone and then the assholes go follow them. So if you have nothing nice to say, don't, but if you're a nice person, please give her a follow and, shoot her some encouragement, support. It would it be okay if people, if they hear this and they have questions about your own journey, could they reach out and ask about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually heard somebody on your podcast and reached out and it was a great conversation. So yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Well, and so by the way, actually, so my wife and daughter and I were going to be in Boston We're leaving tomorrow. Actually, we're going to Boston for about a week before we end up going to Israel. So if you want to see if we could get together, maybe I could try and do an Inner Circle meetup while I'm in Boston. That would be super fun.
Yes, that would be awesome. Yeah, if you have the time.
I will keep you posted on that. When I get off, I'm going to go talk to my wife, see if we can figure out a time when we're in Boston to do an Inner Circle meetup. But have the most amazing, amazing trip. I am beyond proud of you, Jennifer. You've blown me away, and I think this is going to be really helpful to people as well. So thank you, and I very much look forward to hopefully seeing you in Boston in the next few days.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait. That'd be super exciting.
Amazing. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks so much, Jordan. You're the best.
Bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. They really help the podcast a lot. So huge thank you to everyone who's done that already. And if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at www.sfinnercircle.com or just go to the link in the show notes. Have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon.